Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for taking some time with us again as we look into the realms of non-ordinary reality, things that are not physical, and how they affect the physical world, which is mostly what we talk about on this show. My guest tonight is Claudia McNeely, who is a wonderful healer from Texas and just wrote an ebook about psychic protection, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that, one of my favorite topics because of the work that I do. And we will be checking in with her in just a moment, but first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I was, with all the crazy political stuff that's going on, I was thinking of how the law of attraction, one of the most basic concepts in metaphysics, works in groups. Okay, are you confused if you know about the law of attraction? Law of attraction basically says what you get more of what you focus on. It's phrased in a lot of different ways. As you believe, so shall it be for you. What you focus on expands. There's all kinds of ways that it's said over and over again in every culture all over the world. And the more you focus on something and the more you repeat the whatever you're saying or whatever the focus is and the more emotion you put into it, the more powerfully you get the result. So one of the things that people do all the time, which is a negative affirmation, is worrying. Worrying is focusing on what you don't want with emotion repetitively. And that probably will get you what you don't want. And the only thing you get out of that is getting to be right, because you can say, see, I told you I was going to get this. Well, yeah, because you kept saying over and over again you were going to get it. And worrying about it, worrying about it, worrying about it. So it's a much better idea to focus on what you want and put as much emotion and as much repetition into it. And there's all kinds of ways to do that. People pray certain prayers repetitively, say affirmations, do all kinds of things to remain focused on what you want. The same thing is true for groups. So religious groups will pray in unison, will say various statements of faith in unison. And the idea behind it is that the power of a group, the power of several people focusing their emotions and their intention, is more powerful than the intention of one person. You see this at sporting events when people are chanting in unison for their team and going, go, 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 or whatever it happens to be. It's the same idea. It's raising the energy and sending that energy to your team and also putting out the desire for the result that you want. Now, this can work, this group energy can work in positive ways and in negative ways. And what I'm fascinated with is how easy it is to manipulate it. So if you get people afraid of anything, make something up and convince them that they should be afraid of it, what most people will do is immediately go into a reaction of worry. That means they're going to put a lot of energy into repetitively being concerned that this thing they were told to be afraid of will happen to them. Most of the news is fear messages. Most of politics is fear messages. And there are some news outlets that are very political, and almost everything they put out is fear messages telling you that the people that have opposing views are bad, wrong, and are doing terrible things to the world and to the country and whatever their story is. What they're doing, and some people somewhere in the political world are aware of what they're doing, is using other people as a generator of an intention and a focus to get them more energy to get the result that they want. And if you take this in for a moment, you can understand how powerful it is, but also how mean-spirited. Like, there are a lot of words I could attach to this. But they basically are enslaving people to create something that they want in the world. They are getting you to focus on it and be afraid of it and think about it all the time, because they know that if enough people do that, they will get the result without having to really do anything on their own part. And this is a part of the metaphysics of group process, politics, propaganda, news media, all of that stuff that just isn't getting talked about. And I've decided it's probably time for me to talk about it and maybe put together a workshop about it. But the next time you're watching somebody on the news say, be afraid, these people are really bad and wrong, and they're going to, if they get what they want, you know how it works. You know the tone of voice. You know how it works. You know what they're saying. It doesn't matter what the content is. What they're saying is be afraid and focus your fear on these other people. That's how wars start. That's how almost everything bad in the world starts. Pay attention and make a choice to be independent of all of that manipulation and choose what you want to focus on and what you want to create in the world, which actually is a pretty good segue to our topic tonight. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And we'll go hang out with one of my buddies, Claudia McNeely, who's been on the show many, many times. And every time we learn something new and have a great time. How you doing tonight, Claudia?
I'm great. How are you, David?
I'm pretty good. And there you are with your wonderful Southern accent.
Oh, thank
you. Which is so amusing to us Northerners.
I'm sure it is. And it's a little bit of it's not really a Texas accent. It's more of an Alabama accent. And
yeah.
My mother came from there, so I guess I picked it up from her. But yeah, it's interesting. That was a great speech you just did.
Well, thank you,
loved
ma'am.
What you said. Loved it.
Yeah, I've been processing that for a very long time, and it's a topic nobody's talking about, and it's pretty obvious if you know about metaphysics, but nobody talks about it.
And you know, people don't talk about psychic protection either.
Right.
You know, that's a big, you just don't talk about that. And one of my teachers that taught me this information was actually in the government PSYOPs program. And he was teaching us this information basically so that we could protect ourselves from our own government.
Yeah, I don't know how far down down that rabbit hole we should go. Suffice to say that if anybody anywhere in the world is doing something that could be dangerous that our government would be concerned about, our government created a program to figure it out and counter it.
Yes.
And that included various kinds of psychic programs like remote viewing and all kinds of programs that have to do with countering psychic attacks. And both of us at various times have hung out with groups of people that are very focused on that kind of stuff. And one of the things about it, about doing this kind of work is how do you take in information that would make other people totally crazy and, you know, running into the hills with their hair on fire.
Exactly.
And just kind of nod your head and go, yeah. Okay, I get that. Makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And not be freaked out.
Right. You know, I think you become immune to it after a while. Or nothing, you know, I'm at the point now, nothing surprises me. Nothing. I expect it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, you start getting the details of it and you go, oh, that has to be true because there was that big hole in the information I know about, and that fills the hole.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm sure there are people out there. Yeah, I'm sure there are people out there now going, are they talking about conspiracy theories or right. they're not really saying anything? To which the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't want the powers that be, the dark forces, whatever name you want to give it, they don't want people to protect themselves. Because like you were saying, but you said it in different words, they want people to be afraid. They want this energy because they feed off of that energy.
Right.
And if we have protection up, that's not going to happen. So they don't want people to have protection. So we're taught in the metaphysics, I mean, this is what I was taught from the very beginning. Oh, you don't need to protect yourself. As long as you don't believe you're going to get attacked, you won't get attacked. Yeah. And all you need is a bubble, and that's it. And you're going to be protected. And yeah. so that's what people believe. And some people, that's true. Not some of us came into this life. You and I came in to learn the lesson of psychic protection. This is part of why we're here.
And to counter various very kinds of things. You know,
but not everybody came in with that. Some people don't need to learn psychic protection, so they can do the bubble. They can do the ignore it and it'll go away. But it doesn't work for everybody.
I think, to be fair, at its purest metaphysical truth, if you totally are in a non-dualistic state, if you don't believe there is light and dark, good and bad in the world, then you don't experience it. You will not track.
But this is a planet of duality. How can you not be in duality?
Well, you know, you can be meditating in a cave or doing any number of other things that separate you. And
exactly.
It will never come to your attention in your physical reality.
Right.
You will never attract it.
Exactly.
And that's the direction that this planet is going. That's the transition that we're going through. But we're not there yet.
Not even close.
We are in the chaos that is inevitable before every major transition.
Right.
And
exactly.
So here we are with a very striking presentation of the light and dark forces in the world and the kinds of things that are going on, and people's perception of it gets manipulated so that it's a pickpocket trick. I say this all the time. If you can, what pickpockets do is they distract your attention either verbally or by bumping into you or saying, look over there or whatever it is. And while you're distracted, they very carefully, because they know how to do it, reach in your pocket and take your wallet.
Right.
And that's most of what politics is.
And especially what's going on right now.
Yeah. You know, it's look over there.
It's a big cover. Exactly. Look at us and this fighting and the government shut down and, let's see what we can do over here.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's all the other guy's fault, you know, and both sides are doing it. One side more obviously being manipulative than the other.
Right.
But it's that you got to look over there. That's really what's going on. The fact that we are lying through our teeth and it's really obvious should not concern you at all. Just do what we tell you.
Exactly.
And, you know, if the stakes weren't so high, it would be incredibly laughable. But the stakes are. So,
but, you know, it doesn't matter because they already know what they're doing. It's all a game. It's every bit of it is a game. It's a play. We're watching a play. They already know how it's going to end. It's already planned. They already know when it's going to end. And we're just watching the play is all we're doing.
Well, yeah, I think that gives the players in the play a lot more credit than I think they deserve. I think most of the players are playing their part from the script. Don't have any idea what the backstory is or
exactly
any of that. They're just doing their part. But further up the line, there are the people that wrote the script. Know exactly what they're doing. And just for all the people that are now sitting there mumbling and gritting their teeth about conspiracy theories, I just want to tell you where the term conspiracy theory comes from. Which is, it was put into the media immediately after the assassination of JFK to counter the stories of the people who looked at the explanation that the FBI gave and said, no, wait a minute, there are big holes in this story.
Right.
This doesn't fit. And they came up with this term conspiracy theory as a way of discrediting them. And the term, because it was invented by the CIA and the FBI as a propaganda tool, confirms that there are conspiracies.
So exactly.
It always cracks me up when people say conspiracy theories.
Look at all the conspiracy theories that have turned out to be true.
Right. Right.
You know? Yeah.
And it is the nature of politics and government and the military and all of those to keep secrets.
Yeah.
And there are important reasons to keep those secrets. I mean, it's not that there shouldn't be secrets. But, you know, the propaganda tool of distraction and saying that everybody else is wrong is very, very powerful. It's been used for millennia.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't invent it recently. We just fine-tuned it.
Right.
So, anyway, so much for conspiracy theories. And there probably will be people that listen to the idea of psychic attack and consider a conspiracy theory, too.
Exactly.
And the usual thing that I hear when I talk about some of the wilder, crazier stuff that I know is in my experience doing the clearing work that I do, and I'm sure is in yours as well, is they say, well, I've never experienced that. And you'll find that you can do the same thing with science. You tell somebody about a scientific study that's in a journal somewhere, and they say, I've never heard of that. And like, yeah, but you only read the journals in your field and in the very small segment of your field that's important to you. There's a lot going out in the world, and just because you haven't bumped up against it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the realm of psychic phenomena that we're talking about. Most people, if they're experiencing it, don't have a way of understanding it, so they wouldn't even ask the question.
Right. Exactly. You know, have you ever gone in a restaurant and you're feeling just fine, and all of a sudden you get sick to your stomach?
Oh, yeah.
That's because you're being psychically attacked.
Right.
Somebody in that room has decided that they're going to suck your energy. And you end up being, they're literally attacking you. Some of the students, that especially young people have such amazing abilities just naturally these days, but they don't have the morals to go with it. And when I was studying this, these kids would go into a restaurant or a movie theater or whatever, and they would pick somebody out and try to give them a heart attack just to see if they could do it.
Yeah, I've never experienced it that badly, but I've been sitting at a table with a number of people that were aware and look over at the next table where there's a bunch of young people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real obvious that to those of us that do this all day that they were messing with us. You know, and then it winds up being an interesting back and forth where without a word,
exactly.
The people at my table made it very clear to them it was not a good idea. And that's the stuff that we're talking about. Most issues of psychic protection that people will understand are not intentional.
Exactly.
Everybody knows in their family that there is the relative that sucks everybody's energy dry.
And, you know, my daughter was critically ill her whole life. She was very ill. She sucked other people's energy because she was so ill. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that she meant to hurt anybody. It's just that her body needed that energy. And she would wear nurses out really quickly. I mean, you know, like every few months we would have to get a new nurse because they would just be so exhausted from her taking their energy. And, you know, so most people don't mean to do it, and they don't even realize they're doing it. But you have a few that know exactly what they're doing.
Right. My maternal grandmother, my mother's mother, my joke was she died for 30 years. She had her first surgery in her 60s, and she lived well into her 90s. But she sucked everybody dry except for me and my father, who were on to her. You know, basically anybody and everybody that walked in the room would get sucked dry by her neediness.
Right.
And she'd make people unable to come up with solutions. That was the thing that was amazing. And I'd walk in and go, oh, really? Why don't you just do this?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's jaw would drop. And it was just that I wasn't getting sucked into the force field of her saying, there is no solution to this. My life is terrible. And you have to agree with her. Life is terrible.
She was a martyr. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The quintessential Jewish mother joke.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody's experienced that and sort of gets it, but doesn't know what to do with it. But as you were saying, then there are the people that are doing it on purpose.
Right. You know, we have voodoo, there's Santeria, there's all these different kinds of magical practices out there that are, you know, these days, it is so in our face. Kids go, you go into a normal bookstore, and there's going to be all kinds of spell books in the New Age section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, these kids are being taught to do this, but they're not being taught that how to protect themselves from it, when to use it. I mean, a love spell is actually a form of psychic attack.
Right. Right.
And people were doing love spells left and right. I literally, there was a, I had some girls come in to see me one time years ago. And their mother was in the hospital dying. And the doctors could not figure out what was wrong with her. And so I looked at it psychically and I saw what was being done to her. And I told the girls what was being done and they knew who it was that was attacking mom. And I was able to stop the attack, and within a week, the woman left the hospital, and the doctors never figured it out.
Right, right.
Somebody was literally killing this woman, and she was dying. That's what you can do with these magical practices.
And I want to put a disclaimer in here. you know, the practices that are available in any tradition can be used for good or evil.
Exactly. You know, I used the same methods that was used to attack this woman. I used the same method or similar method to heal her.
Right. But just, you know, there are communities where their religion is voodoo. There are communities where their religion is Santeria.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that some practitioners of those
systems use it
because it's powerful and use it in a dark way doesn't mean that the practice itself is bad or wrong. It's the practice of the people in that area, and it's their life.
Right. So, and there is, it's also
taken out of context a lot.
Yes,
oh, you know, here's. You get a book and it's got stuff from voodoo and you mess with it. That doesn't mean that you're a voodoo practitioner. It means that you're just messing with tools.
Exactly. And I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
It was important. It'll come back.
You were talking about the gal who was very sick. And
I know what I was going to say. You know, I walk a very fine line. I don't believe that there's really black magic or white magic. It's just energy. And I do believe that, you know, if somebody is attacking me or if they're, you don't mess with my kids. That's, you know, all mothers are like that. But if somebody's messing with me or they're messing with anybody's kid, I have no qualms at all in going in there and psychically attacking that person and and destroying their life. You know, if you're going to mess with, you know, if somebody comes at you and they're hitting you with a baseball bat, are you just going to stand there and take it? No, you're going to find something to pick up and fight back. And it's the same in magic. You have to fight back. If somebody's attacking you, you have to stand up and fight back and say, no, you're not doing this to me.
Right. Well, I'll give you my difference between black and white magic, because I think there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. Everything is intention. All this stuff is based on intention.
Yeah.
And you either have an intention to help people and spread love in the world, or you have an intention to get whatever you can out of people and manipulate people. And if you hurt them, that's okay too.
Right.
Or you intentionally are hurting people. So whether you're doing it with a gun or a knife or the economic changes in that part of the world or however you are hurting people, that's all dark stuff. And doing it with – and it's another way of doing magic. It's another way of manifesting an intention. So
but if I use that same technique to protect a child who's being molested
– right.
To me, that's white magic, but it's the same technique.
Right.
That's
right.
Why,
it's using the same understanding. It's using the same understanding of how things really work.
Exactly.
But you know that what most people are unwilling to really take in is that there are malevolent people and there are malevolent intentions in the world. And that people are intentionally hurting other people or stealing their energy or enslaving their children, doing all of that stuff. And you see it manifest in the physical world. And, you know, we're sheltered from it and we don't want to know about it.
Right.
So we don't want to know that in the third world and the former Soviet countries, they are sweeping up teenage girls off the street and making them.
They're doing it here.
It's spread here because it never got caught anywhere else. So that, you know, prostitution with young children is extremely widespread, but most people never run into it. And when you talk about it, they're so horrified by it that they can't even take in that it happens.
Exactly.
You know, the horrors of the things that we do, we have as a country done in war, even very recently, all of that kind of stuff doesn't just happen accidentally. Someone decides it's okay to do and it will serve a purpose. And the people we're doing it to don't count.
Right. Exactly. That's it.
And, you know, from my perspective is everybody counts. Everybody needs to be loved. And not on my watch. You are not doing that if I know about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So inserting myself quietly, psychically into circumstances where I hear about that stuff going on and just basically saying no.
Yeah. I've done that a lot.
So, you know, the stuff that's in your wonderful ebook, which is part of what we want to encourage people to take advantage of, is to get your ebook and get more detail on all of this stuff. Starts with the very simplest things and moves through a lot of detail. We're going to go to a break in just a minute. Why don't you give your website very, very quickly, and we'll pick all this up right after the break.
My website is askclaudia.com.
Cleverly enough. And this is David Franklin Farkas with Claudia McNeely talking about psychic protection here on the Farkas Files. And we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Claudia McNeely, and we're talking about psychic protection, which is one of those topics where nobody wants to talk about it because nobody wants to think that they're in danger for this kind of stuff. So, which is why it's been important to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your ebook, you do some really wonderful stuff laying out all the different ways that attacks can be formulated, all the different kinds of things that can be done, and how people can test what's going on, and different methods to use for protecting yourself, which, you know, is one of those things that should be taught every day to little kids.
Yes, it should. Yeah.
But, you know, we're busy distracting them from the natural world and not talking about this kind of stuff because it's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I know one of the things you mentioned in the book is that you went through a period where you were under attack, which is part of the reason that you learned all this.
Yes. You know, I believe the crap of, you know, if you don't believe in it, you won't get attacked. All you need is a bubble of protection. And I opened a store in the little town that I lived in, a metaphysical store. And there was a group of vampires that started hanging out at the store. And they didn't like the fact that I was what they called a white lighter. And so they started attacking me. Then there was another group, you know, I told you I took the voodoo spells off people. So there was another group of voodoo practitioners that didn't like me taking their spells off. So they started attacking me. And I got pregnant, was less than a month pregnant. And it was on a full moon. And I got hit. I was at a friend's house. I started bleeding. Got home. I had an aquarium full of fish. Every fish in it was dead when I got home.
Oh, geez.
And I miscarried. I had more labor with that miscarriage at 1 month pregnant than I did with my two children that I gave birth to. It was fun. But that's when I learned that, yes, you can get psychically attacked. They literally tried to kill me. I mean, they were literally trying to kill me. There was another night that it was midnight on a full moon. I did not think about it. I opened the door to walk outside because my partner was outside smoking a cigarette, and I literally got knocked to the ground by the energy blast that I got hit with. It was scary.
Yeah.
It was really scary. Yeah. And I had to learn to protect myself. I had to learn to stop that. It took me several years to stop the attack and to learn everything I needed to know to get it stopped. Most people are not going to experience that kind of an attack. It was 75 people attacking me.
Right.
Most people are not going to go through something like that. So, you know, they don't need to go through what I did, but right. I needed to go through that so that I could teach people what I'm teaching them now.
Right. Yeah. The attack
was scary.
The attacks that I tend to experience are when I'm doing clearing work, and it's usually as much as it will creep people out to think that this stuff is real, it's usually demons.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's usually non-physical negative beings that
right.
are protecting
their
turf.
And I dealt with those too.
Protecting their turf and what's
exactly.
going on.
Right.
But when I was apprenticing, one of my teachers was a Cherokee medicine man, and he would – you know, have me take him places where I met some of the most powerful medicine men alive at that time, who were
wow.
his contemporaries. And
cool.
I'm just a fly on the wall. And they all had psychic bodyguards, their
mm-hmm.
proteges, who were their psychic
mm-hmm.
bodyguards. And part of the reason was that all these very powerful shamans would mess with each other.
Oh,
just
yeah.
because they could.
Yep.
You know, they
yep.
they would just do something to see who noticed it, how quickly they would notice it, and how annoyed they got. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it was good exercise for the psychic bodyguards. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
you know, the master would say, oh, really, you think so? And would mess with the other person. And everybody who was watching him do it would laugh, and then they'd wait for the mm-hmm. response. You know, it was kind of a ping pong mm-hmm. game
right.
of you know, testosterone,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of
yep.
kind of a pushing game, you know,
mm-hmm.
play fighting. And
yeah.
One of the things that happened for me out of that was a very deep sense of how of what the ethics of this are. I remember the first time I was given a method of working on something. And the person warned me, you can do this with ghosts and other non-physical beings, but don't you do it on a person because you could really hurt them with it. And
wow.
I was really stopped in my tracks. I was like, if these people who were raised in the tradition are still doing things that I see as being unethical, how am I going to rise to a level of ethics that I could trust myself with this kind of tool?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 15, 20 years before I let in that kind of stuff again.
Right, right.
I was like, you know, how do I trust myself? I'll get pissed off and I'll hurt somebody. That's not okay with me.
Yeah. You know, I don't do it because I get pissed off. I do it, you know, like if a child is being molested,
right.
I have no qualms. I'll do whatever I have to do. But I don't just do it for the fun of it. That's never been something that I've been yeah. interested in.
Yeah, and I also, from my guides, have blanket permission to protect children, no matter
mm-hmm.
what, wherever.
Right.
And my kid is probably one of the most protected kids on the planet.
Oh, my son, too. Yep. But, you know, my son, it's so amazing to watch him. He's 24 now. And I'll have something like recently I was attacked again because I'm friends with somebody that they were attacking. So I got attacked so that I couldn't help them. And I didn't even, it's been so long since I've been attacked that it took me a while to realize that that's what
right.
it was. So, and by then I was pretty weak with everything going on. So I asked my son, I said, okay, we need to stop this. And boy, some of the stuff he came out with for us to do. I'm like, oh, my God, he has been listening to me all these years. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That they pick, you know, when they grow up around it, they just pick up so much of it.
absolutely. It's interesting at some point, you know, a lot of these kids go, I'm not going to do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
shut it all down. And that doesn't mean they don't know. It means that they're not focusing on it for the moment.
You know, my son shut it down when he was younger because the kids teased him.
Right.
You know,
right.
He would tell them about his past life memories and they would tease him about it. So he shut it down for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they come back.
Yeah.
So let's give people a taste of what you include in the book. What would be a scenario that's pretty common that we can describe to people and some of the methods that can be used to...
One of the most important things, to me, it is the most important chapter in the book, is stop attacking yourself.
Yes, I saw that.
You know, the best way that I can curse somebody is to tell them, I'm going to put a curse on you.
Yeah, right.
I don't have to do a thing. I just sit back and watch and they destroy themselves because of their fear. And I cannot tell you how many clients I've had come to me thinking they're being attacked when it's nothing but their own fear that's doing it. Right. If you think you're being attacked and you can create whatever reality you want to create. So you can attack yourself and you think it's somebody else attacking you. So it's really important to really get clear about what you're doing to yourself. That's the number one most important thing.
Right. And that's, you know, people think it's all airy fairy to talk about self-love and taking care of yourself and any number of other things that are really common. And the real reason for that is that everybody is going to tell you that there's something wrong with you. The entire glamour industry, makeup, mm-hmm. hair, everything else is based on making women feel badly about themselves.
Right.
You know, the same thing with the whole jock culture. You know, if mm-hmm. you're not super macho and buff, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
And, you know, all of that, if you take it in on that level, and obviously it starts with teenagers who are very impressionable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you take that in, you walk around constantly telling yourself what's wrong with you.
Exactly.
And the part of you that takes that in and the part of the universe, however it works, that responds, makes no judgment about what you put out there.
Right.
You know, it's like the two descriptions I've heard is it's kind of like a 4-year-old or an idiot savant, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're repeating it. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Okay, it's bad. Yeah. You know, I can just walk around repeating the thing over and over again, getting more emotional about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe goes, oh, okay, that's the reality you want. Fine. I'll give you that.
Exactly. And that's it. And that's how so many people end up attacking themselves because they think they're being attacked. Oh, there's an entity attached to me. Well, no, there really isn't. It's you.
Well, and on the other hand, the attack starts out as the psychological attack of the media and the propaganda and the commercials and all the rest of it. There is an attack going on.
Right.
It's just much more subtle, and it makes you eat yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that, you know, that's why psychic protection is important, because when you can protect yourself, when you're shielding yourself, it's harder for that stuff to get into you to affect you. So that's real important. You have to be able to figure out, am I being attacked? You know, and that's you use either a pendulum or self-kinesiology to ask questions, you know, am I being attacked? How am I being attacked? There's all different types of psychic attacks. You know, how many people say, oh, I wish he would break up with her? I call that wishcraft. Not witchcraft, but wishcraft.
Right.
You know, I wish she would just go somewhere and die.
Well,
those are all forms of magic.
Right. Those are basic spells and curses.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to me, they're the essence of codependence.
Right.
You know, it's the kind of stuff that teenage girls do to each other all day.
Oh, sure.
It's saying, I want this situation to work out differently than it is, and I really, 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 really am angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say something specifically bad that's supposed to happen to the person, then it's a curse. And if you just say, I want it to be some other way, it's a spell.
Right.
And people do it all day, every day, think nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody becomes very skilled at it, it's, you know, the weaponized version of what teenage girls do.
Right. And, you know, we have in our language, you know, she looked daggers at me. She stabbed me in the back. There's literally things going into our energy field. We literally have been stabbed in the back. There's literal knives in our back.
Yep.
You know, and all of that affects us. All of it does. And it's really important to learn how to clear our energy, to get all of that stuff out of our energy field, to strengthen our aura. Make it stronger so that it's harder for stuff to get in. And it's real important to pay attention to the back, because usually when we're working on our aura, we don't think about the back because we don't see that. And it's really important because that area is usually real thin. So it's really important to pay extra attention to the back and make sure that that aura is really healthy and really strong.
And one of the things I see all the time, because most of the people that when I'm working on people rather than land or buildings, it's usually because something's wrong.
Right.
And the pattern that I see constantly, and, you know, one of the things you talk about in terms of protection is grounding. And I'll see somebody is ungrounded. Usually the first and second chakras are badly damaged and chronically closed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lots of entities attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've realized over time is that that pattern is typical of childhood abuse, especially sexual abuse. Because it's less painful and terrifying to be out of your body when you're helpless than to be in. So they get really good at being ungrounded and out of their body.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes a habit.
So many in the metaphysical community are not grounded. Because they want to do all the, you know, higher dimensional airy fairy stuff, and they don't want to be grounded. And you're going to be more psychic if you are grounded.
Right.
There is so much bullshit out there right now in our field. And, you know, somebody just, they're not grounded. They get this idea and they start passing it around and everybody believes it.
Well, and you can have these amazing experiences on the astral plane or beyond because you're ungrounded and you got yourself out there, but that doesn't mean you can do it.
You can have that same experience even better if you are grounded.
Right. But the other thing is if you're not grounded, it's dangerous stuff to do.
It's dangerous, yes.
Because you have no protection.
Exactly.
You know, when I started out, I ran into a lot of people that were doing that stuff until I found the people that really knew what they were talking about.
Right. Now it's even worse now than it was back when we got into this. You know, I get some books now and I start reading them and it's like, oh my God, people believe this. You know, it's sad. It's really sad.
Well, everybody starts out as a wannabe or a dilettante.
Sure.
And everybody gets some results and says, okay, I'm getting results. I'm whatever it is that they want to be. I'm a magician, I'm a shaman, I'm a priestess, I'm, you know, not realizing that the way this has been taught for thousands of years is that you apprenticed with somebody for decades.
Oh,
before you're allowed to do anything on your own.
Oh, yeah. You know, in a lot of the traditions, the teacher would just sit there and throw energy at their students until the student could protect themselves.
Right.
And until they could do that, they never let them do anything.
Right.
Nothing.
Sweep the floor, drive them from place to place.
Exactly. Exactly.
Watch what's going on. And it's also a lesson in humility. Because as long as you think you're all that,
right, That's where the problems come from.
You can't listen and take in the information. Right. So they do it until they wear you down.
Yep. Exactly.
No,
that's not true anymore. You know, like I said, you walk in the store, you buy a book on how to do spells.
And it's the other thing that people really typically don't know about, and it's often focused on the Ouija board, which I consider to be an incredibly dangerous.
I do too. And it's not necessarily that the Ouija board is dangerous. It's all the thought forms that have been attached to that Ouija board through the centuries that it's been around.
The way I look at it is it's a perfectly wonderful tool for somebody that's experienced and knows how to use it safely.
Right.
And
I don't recommend that anybody even experienced use the Ouija because of all those thought forms attached to it. There's a lot of different boards out there now that are safe to use. Angel boards, and there's a Native American one, and I've got several, you know. And there are a lot out there now that really have good energy attached to them. But the actual Ouija board is extremely dangerous because of those thought forms.
Well, and also because you're just opening a random doorway in a dark alley in the baddest part of town and hoping that somebody nice will come through.
Exactly. Yes.
Because the kids that use it don't have the skill to create the protection, you know, create the circle, do all the rest of the stuff that's necessary to do a seance safely. They don't get any of that. The problem is it works.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I just got prompted that we've got just a few minutes to close, and we haven't even really started talking.
No, we haven't.
Which is always the way, which is
why
I keep having you come back on. Tell people a little bit about where they can find your ebook and give your website again so people can find all this wonderful stuff.
Okay, the ebook is available on my website. It's askclaudia.com. And it's under the psychic protection, under ebooks. It has a lot of really good information in it. I cover everything I can think of to cover. It's got everything in it you need in most situations. You know, I mean, you may get into a really bad attack like I did that this isn't going to exactly get it.
Which is when they should call Claudia or David or somebody else like this.
Exactly. But for most people, this has everything they need to be able to protect themselves and to, you know, I have so many people, they go to somebody to have something removed, pay thousands of dollars, and then it's back again. When you have this, when you know how to do this yourself, you don't have to do that. You never have to have somebody else, unless it's something really bad, work with you again.
Right.
You've got the tool right here to do it.
Thousands of dollars. Obviously, I don't charge enough.
So. No, you don't. You don't.
Well, my dear, as usual, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show because we have
so much fun
together.
We do.
And Claudia is going to be one of the people that's going to be back with me for our Halloween special show, where we're going to talk about what Halloween really is about and where all the traditions came from and all that stuff. We're going to have some fun on Halloween night.
Right.
So, again, her website is askclaudia.com, and you can get all the information there. And if you're curious about my work and where you can find my stuff, it's on househealing.com. If you go to the contact page, there's every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including my online schedule to schedule some phone time with me. I do a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with you and how my work might be helpful to you. So please take advantage of that. And thank you so much, no matter when you're listening to this. Most people listen to our show well after the live recording, and we have dedicated listeners all over the world listening to us through lots of different channels, and I just want to say thank you so much for making this possible, because I have a great time, and I'm glad that from all the feedback I get that people are enjoying it and getting benefit from it, and what a wonderful thing that is. So thank you, one and all, and until next week, This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.